Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we're going to have a fascinating program this hour. We're going to have with us Catherine Albrecht, who's actually working on a doctorate degree from Harvard University. And believe me, you don't get into a Harvard on the doctoral program there if you're a slouch. And she is one of the most charming and lovely people that I've had the privilege of interviewing in the past. And we've talked to her in the past about, well, the cards, the grocery cards that you get for grocery stores across America. Oh, we're from the grocery store and we want to give you a discount. So if you just simply use this card and you come in and you buy your food so much cheaper, of course they don't mention that they double the price of the food and then they cut it back about a third, so you actually end up paying more with your grocery card than you would if you just went to a regular store and bought it. And we're careful with your shopping. But what people do not understand is that they are collecting information on you. They're collecting all sorts of files on you. These are being put into databases because they want to know everything about you, just exactly as in George Orwell's 1984. This is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And there's a great deal of money that can be made by the grocery chains selling information about you. And initially, it didn't seem to be too bad. But now, of course, we seem to be finding that the government is interested. They want to know what sort of laundry soap you use. They want to know how many dogs you have, because you can tell all of this by your buying habits. They are doing everything they can to follow you and track every one of your motions, every one of your activities. It's very difficult for the average American to believe that this is sort of going on in America today. But, of course, this is simply just the beginning of what's going on. And so we do hope that many of you will want to stay here and listen as we talk to Catherine Albrecht. And, of course, she brings you the wisdom, what she's been able to find, as she has actually tracked what's going on. And believe me, it's a frightening, frightening story of people who are more interested in creating the world of 1984 than they are in defeating terrorism. Because if we were really at war with terrorism, don't you think they would have sealed our borders? If we were really at war with terrorism, don't you think that they would have armed every airline pilot so they could protect you on the aircraft? Don't you think they would have marshals on every plane? Don't you think that they would have defectors on the plane to protect us in case of a surface-to-air missile? Don't you think that that the Bush administration would be trying to stop the Saudis from continuing to fund the Al-Qaeda terrorists? And if you doubt that, there's a wonderful article that's put out, of all places, by the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about terrorist funding by Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia, our great ally, of course now they're under some attack, but they have been funding up until very, very recently Al-Qaeda, and the Bush administration has done absolutely nothing about that. In fact, they have suppressed that information. They actually censored that information, was brought out by the joint House-Senate Select Committee here a while back. The average American has no idea what's really going on behind the scenes, and our job, of course, is to do what we can to let you understand that the war on terrorism is really not a war on Al-Qaeda. The war on terrorism is a war on the freedom of the American people. As we move from freedom to fascism to the ultimate state control and monitoring of the individual, that would have made George Orwell and Hermann Göring and Adolf Hitler run blush green with envy. And I think we have a real problem in the United States today. Our job is to try to get that information out, and that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and that's why I do. I hope that many of you out there will be talking to your friends and your relatives and get copies of these programs. And, of course, we'll be doing a series of programs with Catherine Albrecht. And, of course, what we have initially talked was bad, but it's much worse. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course this is the time when we want to introduce our special guest for this afternoon. Her name is Catherine Albrecht. And Catherine is a doctoral student at Harvard University. She's working on a doctoral degree. She has her master's degree, but right now she's working on this whole idea of monitoring, which is going on all across America. Now, last time we had Catherine with us, she was talking about the grocery cards. And we have a number of grocery chains that offer you cards because they really like you. They want, of course, to get the price down on your groceries. And so if you'll just show your card when you go to the check stand, you get the prices down. But the truth of the matter is, if they've checked this out, they find actually, when you go to a store that offers you these special grocery cards, the price actually goes up. Because it costs a great deal of money to compile all the files they're compiling on you. This is really what it's all about. They're not interested in saving you money. They're interested in tracking your buying habits so they can sell that initially to producers and more recently, of course, to the government, which really is so concerned about how many rolls of toilet paper you use, how many animals you have, and whether they're dogs or cats. And the government is tracking everybody in America today. And this is the real tragedy that we face. And the average person has no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. So we do hope that many of you will listen very, very carefully as we present to Catherine Albrecht here. And, of course, we have her. We hopefully will have her with us in just a moment. And, of course, we're talking about this monitoring that is all being done in the name of fighting terrorism. So I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get Catherine. Seems to be having a little difficulty getting in touch with her. So we'll just actually have open lines for the time being and be back here in just a couple of moments. Invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY right here at Radio Liberty. We have Fred over in Salinas. Fred, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do you have a question or comment?
I just had a comment. I just wanted to digress, and I don't know if you've looked at the news. There was a fishing boat that sank out here yesterday.
Yes, I was. Did you know the fellow?
That was a very good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out, all of the boats down here now have a little black box, a tracking box on it. And they know exactly where the boat's at because they've seen its last movements on a screen up in Seattle, Washington, what happened to it, where it's at.
Well, of course, they're doing this with our cars. So they have the chips that they put in the cell phone. And they want us all to believe, oh, we're so concerned about you. We want to be there for you in case you're kidnapped by the wicked Osama bin Laden or one of his terrorists. We're from the government, and we want to protect your children. But this really is not true. They want to monitor everybody if we're moving into the world of 1984. And the people on the other side really understand that. They just don't want the American people. Do you have any idea to understand what happened to that boat? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I do. I have a friend that there was a three-man crew on there. There was a captain and two men. And the fellow, there was one of the crewmen told the captain that he won't go out on the boat again because the bin boards that hold the fish in the bins was wore out. And for some he was fishing Dovrsole, and Dovrsole are real slimy. They're like water. And we suspect that the bend boards let go and all the fish run to one side and it rolled the boat over.
Well, that's a terrible, terrible tragedy, but you know, when you're a fisherman, you can't be too careful.
You can't be too careful, but what I wanted to say was that now all the boats out there, all the boats that go offshore, all the boats that fish up and down the coast now, have to have a tracking device on them.
Well, of course, they want to know where you are so that they can protect you. And the same way that they want to have the tracking devices on our cars, the tracking devices on our cell phones, they would like to put them on all of the children. They certainly are encouraging veterinarians to encourage them, put them into animals. And there's always a good reason why, but it's never the real reason.
I did just hear today that all the everybody that flies.
Well, I think we lost Fred. I'm sorry for that. But right now we have Catherine Albrecht on the line. Catherine, are you there?
Hi, I sure am, Dr. Stan. Hello.
Okay, fine. Well, I appreciate it, and I've already introduced you as a doctoral student at Harvard University working on your doctoral degree. And, of course, you're going into the background of some of this monitoring that seems to be going on. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and the programs that you're engaged in?
Well, let's see. Some people probably are most familiar with our work either fighting grocery store loyalty cards. Those are the Safeway and the Kroger cards that seem to have sprung up now at every supermarket in the country, pretty much. And also for my work on RFID, or what we call spy chips, which are the tiny computer chips hooked up to antennas that beam radio waves about their location and what they are, that are actually poised at this point to replace the barcode on all of the products manufactured on the planet. I got started in this initially as a doctoral researcher at Harvard, working on research in terms of consumer communication, consumer understanding of privacy issues, and that brought me sort of the round way about to discovering about this RFID technology and these tiny chips that are planned to put on consumer products. And perhaps I can tell your listeners a little bit more about that for those who have not yet heard of RFID.
You go right ahead.
Well, RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification. It's RF for Radio Frequency, ID for Identification. And essentially what has been cooked up since 1999 is a plan on the part of some of the world's biggest global corporations, big companies like Gillette, Procter & Gamble, Philip Morris, Kimberly-Clark, Unilever, and big companies like Target and Walmart, and even some big government agencies like the Department of Defense and the United States Postal Service, all got together in the last couple of years and poured millions of dollars into the development of a sophisticated technology that enables physical items to be remotely tracked at a distance. So what they've done essentially is create teeny tiny computer chips the size of a speck of dust in some cases that are hooked up to tiny antennas, little flat metal metallic coils, usually on an adhesive sticker.
Yeah, but these are really infinitesimally small, aren't they?
Well, the chips themselves are incredibly small. The antennas currently are about the size of a postage stamp.
Okay.
So the antennas themselves are not yet quite that small. There are some experimental versions that are much smaller, but they're also much more expensive. So as far as the ones that they want to use to replace the barcode, those need to be just a penny or less a piece by the time they actually get to that point. But the plans are underway to take these tiny computer chips and hook them up to these tiny antennas, creating what's called an RFID tag, and to affix those tags onto consumer products manufactured in every factory in every country on planet Earth.
Well, now then, when you went out to Kmart or the grocery store, you wouldn't even have to have anybody there to check you out. You'd just slide these things over the scanner, and it would all be there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the way they work is they receive energy from a reader device in the environment. And a reader device is a little antenna that sends out a burst of electromagnetic energy. And if there's any of these tags in the vicinity, the tag will pick up that electromagnetic energy. It will stimulate the tiny computer chip to say, here I am, and here's my unique ID number. It sends that information back using radio waves, just like the radio you use to listen to this broadcast, for example. It sends that information back, and now the reader device knows what's in the vicinity. So one of the advantages that's being proposed for this technology is that when you go into the store, every item in the store will have these radio frequency ID tags or RFID tags on them. You can simply load up your grocery cart with the items, put them in a bag, and waltz out the door, and a reader device in the doorway would automatically scan each of those items right through the shopping bag. It could scan your credit card right through your wallet, right through your pocket or your purse or your backpack, and be able to link that information up and make an automatic deduction to your credit card account or your bank account.
But then, of course, if you were walking down the street or they were outside your house, couldn't they simply beam some sort of a beam into that and tell exactly what you had and,
well, there's
and
precisely
identify you?
The problem, right. So in exchange for the convenience, I guess, of avoiding a few extra minutes in the shopping line, those products now are essentially turned into to bugged devices. They can be tracked. They can be located. They can be identified by any reader device in the vicinity. So now, and some people may recall a few years back, there was a big privacy hoopla when the Super Bowl, which in that year was in Florida, had installed facial recognition cameras at the entrance. And what that meant is that every single person walking into the Super Bowl had a picture of their face taken, and it was compared with a known database of criminals to see if any criminals were going into the Super Bowl. Now, this was expensive, it was elaborate, it didn't work very well, and it didn't catch any criminals. What it did do, though, was upset a lot of people who felt their privacy was violated by having their picture taken and compared to these mugshots when they hadn't committed any crime or weren't even accused of a crime. Well, that technology is child's play compared to what you can do when you have one of these RFID spy chips in every item on the planet. What that means is that everything you are wearing or carrying, down to the color or down to your socks or the chapstick in your purse or the size and color of your underwear, would all be beaming out its unique information. So if you put a reader device, say, in that doorway to the Super Bowl, everybody walking through it would essentially be subject to an electronic frisk. The reader device would be able to query all of the RFID tags on everything you're wearing and carrying in your pocket, in your backpack, under your clothes, and receive that information, cross-reference it in a database to easily look up and say, aha, now I know every single one of the things that you were carrying when you walked into this event.
And I remember it was, oh, maybe about a year and a half ago, they had this ad on television. They ran it over and over again with this very suspicious-looking fellow with this big, black overcoat, and he was going up and down the aisles and taking things off the shelves and stuffing them into hidden pockets. And then as he moves towards the exit of the store, and you're sure he's going to get caught, because obviously a shoplifter, one of the people working there runs up to him and says, sir, you forgot your ticket, you know, your billing form. They were telling us exactly what they intend to do. Most Americans, I don't think, had any idea of what this is about.
Well, I think that is the one of the ways they're going to try to sell this technology to the public. We have far greater concerns about what it could be used for. You may get a little bit of shopper convenience, but the idea of having all of your belongings be remotely identifiable is actually quite disturbing. Currently, the read range on these tags is anywhere from a couple of inches up to 20 and even 30 feet away. The tags are becoming more and more sophisticated. Of course, every month that goes by, there's some new breakthrough or new development in them. And at some point, it's entirely conceivable that these tags and the reader devices will form a seamless network of surveillance.
Now, is this in any way tied into nanotechnology?
Well, not in any overt way that I have seen. One of the other technologies that you may want to look out for in conjunction with this is the broadband over power line technology. Let me back up a little bit and take you back to a meeting I attended a couple years ago at MIT where this technology was developed. And of course, MIT is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is right down the street from Harvard University where I'm getting my doctorate. And I attended a couple of meetings there being held by the folks putting this together, and I'll tell you all about it after the break.
All right, fine. And I think it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand that supposedly we're involved in a war against terrorism. That's why we've got to give up our freedom. We've got to have everything marked. We've got to have everything tagged because, of course, the wicked Osama bin Laden. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, Catherine Albrecht, and then we'll get you her website and, of course, how you can get her material. It's fascinating. It's something that everybody in the listening audience needs to get and help us disseminate the truth while we can.
Mm-hmm. four tapes out on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets. And this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products as well, and we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Albrecht, and of course she was just up in, you were in Washington, D.C. yesterday or the day before, weren't you, testifying there before one of the committees?
Absolutely. This issue of RFID, these tiny tracking devices that they want to put into consumer products, has actually begun to get attention, although the mainstream media hasn't begun talking about it in a large way. I believe it soon will. And most average people haven't heard about it. Lawmakers are starting to pay attention to it. And I sat in, I actually testified at a hearing for the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, that they held on RFID on Monday. So I flew to Washington, D.C., and spent the entire day in the room with some of the most powerful people in American business today, people who are moving this technology forward, people from Walmart, Procter & Gamble, Texas Instruments, some of the big chip manufacturers, some of the big retailers, and of course a whole room full of press and a whole room full of government folks. And I gave a presentation on why RFID is so worrisome for consumer privacy and talked about some of the problems that we've already seen with this technology being tested on unwitting shoppers in different places around the world, including right here in the United States, both in Brockton, Massachusetts, near where I live, and also in a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I talked about some of those trials where people were used as unwitting guinea pigs in testing out this technology, and also talked about the infrastructure that's already in place in retail stores, which is actually quite invisible, and I think even the folks from the Federal Trade Commission could probably use some pointers in understanding it. But it is the $10 to $15 billion CRM industry. It stands for Customer Relationship Management, and they are the folks who essentially create the invisible layer of surveillance that goes on between the retail store and the customer to capture information about the customer. And Dr. Stan, you would be astonished at what I've uncovered about that infrastructure. We've found evidence of, well, not just evidence, but you can go on the websites of these companies yourself. So you can see that IBM has a program it calls Footprints, which actually does thermal imaging of shoppers as they move around stores. There's a product out there called the Path Tracker that is a hidden RFID or GPS device in your grocery store cart that actually creates a unique travel pattern for you, recording all of that in a database and linking it up to your name and your purchase history, literally tracking you, physically monitoring your movements, how long you pause in front of shelves. They even have systems that have their video cameras get close, zoom in, and get a close-up view of your face as you pause in front of a product. All of this is recorded, linked up with your name, put in databases, and sold as research to the highest bidder. So all of these things are in place today. Few people realize that they're there, and if you take that background, that it may be helpful to know my undergraduate degree was in marketing. So I understand what marketing was in the 1980s. I will say it's completely changed into this sort of espionage degree or a field of espionage where that is what they're doing in the stores. That's what marketers are being trained in how to do, and that's what they're being paid to do. And, of course, when you take that and you couple it with an incredibly powerful technology like RFID, which would give marketers and stores and other folks the ability to know everything associated with you and also to monitor your movements, your the places you go, the doorways you walk through, it really creates the chilling potential for us to lose all remaining shreds of privacy.
Well, you know, what's really so disconcerting is that they have consistently lied about what they were about. The Secret Service went around to the various state Department of Motor Vehicles and bought up your picture, which is your picture, but the state sold it to the Secret Service, and then, of course, they put these monitors out there, and then they could actually, when you came up, they say, with Mrs. Jones, and they go to Mrs. Jones, and there's your face there. Whatever happened to that program? Because they were simply lying to the American people about this facial recognition technology. Why wouldn't they tell the truth?
Well, I think there's still efforts to move forward with facial recognition technology. I'm not sure which of the many lies you're referring to, but the thing with the facial recognition technology, I think, that is so interesting is the huge amount of money that's been put into it, and from all accounts that I've heard, it doesn't work very well. So I think they're actually casting about for better ways to identify people. There's been a number of different proposals of different technologies, but I think ultimately the RFID technology will probably prove the easiest to implement because it doesn't really require anything other than for people to accept these already in the products that they're being sold. So that's one of the reasons why we are so incredibly concerned about this. And when you speak about government involvement in this, the Department of Homeland Security is heavily invested in this. They're one of the companies pushing it, or one of the entities pushing it right now.
But they're pushing it right along with many of our great corporations, aren't they? I mean,
well, the corporations are pushing it, and the Homeland Security folks are backing them up and waiting to reap the benefits of that.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Catherine Albrecht, who will invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and when you think about Waco, The Rules of Engagement, doesn't that sort of remind you about Abu Ghraib prison over there in Iraq? They wouldn't let him sleep. They kept him awake all the time. Did everything they could to disorient them. And what was their crime? They were a peaceful group of people, and they were attacked by the government agents. And the jurors who actually heard the case said the wrong people were on trial. They were ordered by the judge to find the Davidians guilty, and they all said we felt they were innocent, but they were ordered. And tragically, they did what the judge said without realizing judges don't have a right to tell you what to do. That's up to the juries, and the juries determine what's lawful. But there's so much about Waco we really don't understand. Well, right now, of course, I just want to mention that we actually have the Big Berkey water filters here, and I believe that we could very well get into a situation where there might be difficulty as far as the availability of water. And, of course, what would you do? Would you boil your water? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light where you could filter your water from pools or ponds or rivers or lakes? And the Big Berkey has been used for 150 years by missionaries. The Berkey Light's relatively new. They're both excellent. The Big Berkey filters 24 gallons of water a day. Water goes through ceramic filters and, of course, comes out the bottom, and it's potable. Berkey Light was only $199. Now, the Big Berkey is $279. It's not available in California. The Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa. And, of course, the filters really are far superior to the Big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. So let me suggest you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, or that you simply give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light water filter. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Albrecht. And before we take our calls, and believe me, people are calling from all across America. Catherine, how can people get your website and get your information?
We have the website on the RFID tags is online at spychips.com. It's easy to remember, spychips.com.
Is that chips or chip?
Chips with a plural.